You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to another episode of the Rantagens podcast. My name is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And my name is Kiana Watson, broker extraordinaire, license number 317576.
Compliance is key, ladies and gentlemen. Compliance is key. So today we got a phenomenal episode. We got my guy to the left of me, Beyond Wynn. What's up, Beyond? How are you today?
I'm great. Great. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Unexpectedly.
Unexpectedly.
Listen, so look, Mr. Run the Play
is here, and I'm gonna tell you guys a little quick story before we get into this. Beyond wasn't supposed to be on here today, so we had some last minute cancellations, and Beyond was coming just to support. So when we had those last minute cancellations, I saw him outside. I said, "Oh my God, Beyond is here. That's what's up." I said, "You know what? You want to be on a show today?" And he said, "Yeah, why not? Run the fucking play." So that's how he's here today. He was going to be a future guest anyway. So And that's what's dope about this, because he came here to support, not to be on the show.
Right.
And he wound up being on the show. So first of all, thank you, because I know this was last minute. You didn't have to prepare for this. No time, no nothing. You just said, "All right, run the play." And now here we are today. So when God gives you lemons, man, you always got to make lemonade.
I appreciate it.
So Beyond, let's get this started. When did you fall in love with real estate?
Fall in love? I'm still not in love with real estate. So it wasn't about, I didn't look at it like I was dating real estate or trying to, you know, build a relationship with real estate. What attracted me to real estate was the money. And so from, you know, my former business, pharmaceutical business, I knew that I was done with that, or I was going to die or go to prison for life. And so real estate, when I was introduced to real estate, it was the closest thing to the money that I was used to making. So that's how I got involved in real estate.
So it was either trap or die, basically.
Right.
Period. Period.
Period.
I'm here for that.
So when did you get started in real estate?
I bought my first house at 17.
I believe I was 17 years old.
Yes.
First of all, where are you from? Let's tell the people your market.
Yeah.
So that way they have
an. And then tell them a little bit about who you are, what you do, because you do so much.
I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. I still live in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm an investor. I used to say I was a real estate investor, but for me, the path is math. So it don't necessarily... The path is math. So...
Jim.
So it don't necessarily have to be real estate. Like, I'm interested in passive income. So, you know, whether it's I'm part owner of a juice bar in Cleveland, also invest in other business owners' businesses. So it don't matter. The path is math. So it's simple. I like to keep it simple.
I love that.
I'm a father. That's one of the top things that I'm most proud of. That's what inspires me the most. That's what keeps me going. That's what changed my life. It changed my careers. Without the kids, there's no telling what I would be doing, you know, period. But for my kids, I wanted to be their role model. I didn't want them to have to look on TV or listen to, you know, music. And I wanted to be that. I wanted to leave a deep impression on my kids. And what I understood as I researched, you could say a whole bunch of stuff, you know. You could talk all day, but kids don't really hear what you keep talking about. What they remember most and what impacts them most is them actually seeing you doing the stuff you're talking about. You telling them to, you know, to suck it up and keep moving, but they watching you whine and complain and give up your whole life. So for me, when we talk about legacy and, you know, generational wealth, et cetera, me being an example of what I do on a daily basis, my activities, how I deal with trials, tribulations, how I dealt with being in juvenile facilities, state prison, federal prison, knowing that they watching. And so I wanted to make sure that when I leave here, I leave a deep impact on them. So they know beyond any reasonable doubt that they can be, do, and have anything because they watch me grow through life, not go through, grow through life. So
grow through life, not grow. Go through.
Grow. This thing is about psychology. Life is psychology. And so you just change the words around a little bit, and it gives you a different feeling. If you're saying that you're going through something, you'll posture it like, yeah, I'm going through. But you're like, I'm growing through this. Like, I'm growing, like, I'm learning, I'm getting better, I'm elevating. So you learn, I learned to smile in the storms because crying wouldn't help me. Like, crying don't help.
Shit, true. I think I should.
Whining don't support you. Like, so it's psychology. Whining never helped anybody. Like, I've been in those places. I used to ask, why me? Why I'm abused at home? Why I'm bullied at school? Why I only got two pair of pants and one pair of shoes that don't match anything? That never helped me. It didn't serve me.
So you only focus on what serves you.
Period.
So when we think about that, to your business, right. No, he don't play no game. I've been following him for a while. That's why you focus on when you create your wealth and you have your portfolio, you're looking at what serves you. Not you don't want to just be an investor just because it's a popular thing to do. It's like if there's no math, there's no cash flowing, you don't want it.
Period.
All right. So tell us about how you evaluate your deals and tell us a little bit about your portfolio.
So in terms of the properties I like, I don't have a specific property I like. I know some people say I only want to invest in multi-units for whatever reason. Again, for me, the path is math. So if it's a single-family home and the numbers make sense and the ROI lines up with what I'm looking for, I'm interested. If it's an 8-unit and the numbers line up, I'm interested. If it's a multi-use building and the numbers line up, I'm interested. So in my portfolio, I have a mixture of single families, duplexes, triplex, fourplexes, 8 units. I'm in partnerships with, you know, with multi-units, where there's 8 units on the bottom, 20 units on top. So again, the path is math. So I look for properties that makes both sense, S-E-N-S-E and C-E-N. T-S.
Repeat that for the people, because I don't think they heard.
Because they didn't hear you the first time.
I look for properties that make both sense. And relationships as well. I look at relationships the same way. If it don't make both sense, I'm not interested. Both sense. And I come up with these things that helps me to keep life simple. Like, that's a simple formula. Like, it needs to make both sense. If our relationship don't make both sense, like, it don't. It don't serve either of us.
Right.
The same way with properties.
Okay.
I look at them the same way.
Perfect.
Damn.
So how many properties do you own? You know, we got to put it. People want to know.
It's funny. I never really answered that question. Because I think that, and I'll say 30 plus units.
That's respectable.
Between me, the kids, and some partnerships. I'll say this, my son's portfolio is probably bigger than like anybody that I know, like any people that I came up with, different things. Like I didn't even know all the properties that he held, but it just goes to show that he's watched me closely. And he's camera shy. Like if anybody here know me and follow me on social media, you see me with my two sons almost every day. We work out together, we do business together, like we together. And so it's like my one son, my oldest son, he don't want to be on the camera. So anytime I put the camera on him, like he shies away. Mm. But he's intentional about building his portfolio, making money, and just making the right moves. And I think too, when people ask, like, what all I own, whether it's you know, properties, other businesses that I'm involved in, people that's just getting started, I think that sometimes people focus on like somebody else's net worth. Like that's like a major question, like a lot of the newbies have, and that's not gonna help you grow. Like how much somebody else is worth or how many properties somebody has, that's not gonna help you grow. What may help you grow is the mistakes you make, like asking somebody that's been in the game for a while, like what's the mistake? What's your biggest mistake? What's the lessons that you've learned on this journey, getting started or where you are now? That's what's gonna help you the most. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to share that more than we share like the success.
Yeah.
The wins, and I own all these different things. It's like, that don't really help. What helps is the trials, tribulations, turbulence, when people talk about that. So you, first of all, you know that you're gonna have to deal with some stuff in order to get to where you wanna go. Mm-hmm. You can't not get rich without risk. Mm. We don't hear that a lot. We hear like, yeah, you're gonna make this money overnight. I'm gonna take you 0 to 60 in the next 30 days. Mm-hmm. That's not true. It's gonna be trials, tribulations. It's like thinking that you're gonna get on an airplane, there's never gonna be any turbulence. You're gonna experience some turbulence, so you might as well have that at the forefront of your mind. The same way with investing. You're gonna make a mistake.
Or two.
You're gonna make mistakes. I'm still learning. I've been in the game 20 plus years and I'm still learning. Mm. I'm still a student of the game. That's why I bought a ticket to come here. I bought a ticket. Matt looked at something and seen that I bought a ticket and refunded me my money.
Yeah.
But I bought a ticket because I'm a student of the game. People call me an expert. Somebody was just saying that, man, you're an expert. Like the information that you just shared, I'm thinking like, I'm not an expert. I'm thinking like when we become experts, like it's no more use for us down here, and then coach take us out of the game. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm a student.
Molly.
So you said so much that I want to.
I know. I was like, right, let's absorb.
So okay.
I like what you said, though.
I like everything that you just said right now. But let's start from how did you get your kids involved into the business? Because, you know, most of us are parents are going to be parents at some point in life. And, you know, we're learning all this stuff. We're creating our assets. But sometimes our kids don't want to take interest in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I have a 16 and a 14-year-old. And they understand what's happening here. But, you know, last time y'all saw Baby Boss was here with me. But I had all three of my kids. But the two oldest, like, nah, we don't want to be bothered with that right now. Right? So how did you transition your children into the real estate business?
So I'll tell the story from my point of view. But I don't think I could tell it better than my kids. That's why when we had talked before and you was like, at some point you would invite me to the show. Mm-hmm. And I was going to bring my kids with me. Because, you know, what I'm doing...
Let's do a follow-up, brother.
Oh, we have to. Because yeah. What I'm doing right now is, like, I owe all of that to my kids. Like, like the work that they putting in. Like, I owe that to them. But how I got my first son involved... When they were... I got 7 kids total. So... Yeah, I got 7. Yeah, I got a team.
He was working.
Run the fucking
He was running the plays outside.
is running the plays.
Shit, I had to create my own team, kind of like what they're doing in the league right now. They, yeah. Stack their team.
So had to get a super team.
I had to do the same thing because, the people that I grew up with, most of my friends, they wasn't interested. They was interested in somebody carrying them to a championship, and I'm not interested in that. So, but when I used to pick my kids up from the time they was like 5 years old, I would take them with me to Home Depot picking up material. They would go with me looking at properties. They would go with me to the title company, to the bank, and they hated it because I was giving them seminars every time I picked them up. Like I'm talking to them and sharing these different things with them because I was wishing that when I was growing up, I had my father in my life to just be around. Like, I'm playing catch by myself. Mm. You know what I mean? And so just to think about that, it was like, that was like a hurting feeling. So I knew that I was going to be the opposite of what my father was. So I would, every time I get them, it was like we having these long conversations and I'm just sharing like different things that I'm learning in life. I'm taking them with me, looking at properties. And then I got to a point where I started sending my one son, he probably was like 10 at the time, and he seemed a little more interested than everybody else. So what I would do is I would walk him through a property. We'll pull up to a property, and I would show him how to evaluate the property first with no numbers. So we'd pull up to a property, and I was like, okay, when you pull up, you just want to take notice of what's in front of you from the landscape, the roof, the gutters, the windows, the siding, the porch, the walkway, driveway. Then you go to the garage, it's the same thing. Then you go in the house, you go to the basement, we're looking at the foundation, the electrical, the plumbing, the heating, you come up, the kitchen, living room, dining room, and just survey everything. And then after you survey everything, then you put numbers to it. So I kind of showed them how to put the numbers to it. It's like, okay, if you got a 14 to 1,500 square foot property, to redo the whole roof, you're going to be in a range of 5,000 to 6,500. To do the gutters, you're going to be in a range of 1,000 to 1,300. Each window going to cost you 200 a piece. And so I went through everything like that. And so after we did that a couple of times, I would pull up to the house and I would have him get out and tell him how much it's going to cost to rehab the house, labor and materials, how much it's going to cost. So I started doing that with him at 10 years old. Mm. And so
how old is he now?
Brian is 29.
And that's the one with the biggest portfolio, right?
Yeah.
I bet he does.
So after doing that a couple of times, he started to learn how to put the numbers together. So fast forward, he was about to go to college, and I knew he didn't really want to go to college, but with moms and kids, it's different because men are not as emotional as women. So what mommy is like, I want my baby to be safe, and I just want the best thing. And so me as dad, I'm thinking like, that's not really, he don't really like regular school. So why pay money for him to go to college? I'm thinking, I don't want to spend my money for him to go to college because I know he don't like regular school. But I'm going to step back and I'm going to let him decide. I feel like he want to do real estate, but I'm just going to sit back. So long story short, he went to college. And at this time he was in college, I was on a federal sabbatical. And so I really had a problem. I'm on a federal sabbatical and I'm paying for college. And, I'm on a federal sabbatical, AKA prison.
I like the way you said that. It sounds, I love it.
So he go to college. And then what happened was before he went to college, he wasn't a drinker. In college, now he going to parties and like different things starting to happen. And I basically told his mom, I said, listen, he's bored because he's not really interested in college. So now he's doing some other things to pass time. You need to have another conversation with him to let him know that it's okay if he don't want to go to college because he's doing this for you, not for himself. Mm. So as soon as she told him that, 2 weeks later, he was home with all his stuff out of college. And so before I had left on the sabbatical,
I just love the way you say that. We're all going to be taking sabbaticals around here.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was.
I don't wish that type. But when you go away, instead of going on vacation. vacation, you guys are going to be going on sabbaticals.
Okay, that sounds better.
You know, go ahead.
So I gave him a 71 Monte Carlo that I had bought some years ago. So it was in pristine condition. I gave it to him. And so when I came home, he asked me if he could sell it. I said, it's yours. You can do whatever you want to do with it. So he sold the car. He told me he was into, he wanted to do some real estate, but I didn't believe him. So he sold the car. He used half of the money to pay for real estate school to get his license, and he used the other half to buy him a Honda Accord. I was like, I'm kind of convinced that he's serious. And then after that, he came to work with me for free. And so he worked with me for free on a couple projects, and I knew that he was serious. And then he started to save up his money, and then we started going in on properties. So that's how he got started. And then what happened was, sometimes your kids can't get it directly from you, but it don't matter as long as they get it. And so what happened with him, after he started to partner with me on deals and get checks, because most people in our family, like people are not getting checks like this. So him being like 22, 23 years old, you know, getting these kind of checks, like nobody's getting those kind of checks. So it got the attention of his other, you know, my other kids. Yeah. They're like, and so they started to get interested. And so the same thing with fitness and working out. He hated working out, but me continuing to be disciplined, and you know, I'm talking to them, but they seeing my actions and activities. So he continued to see me working out. He started working out with me. Now he work out more than I do. And then his brother started working out. Then his sister started working out. So now it's a ripple effect, you know, from investing, fitness, et cetera.
Man. That's powerful.
Very much so.
That's powerful. Birds of a feather flock together.
Absolutely.
Birds of a feather flock together. And I think that's powerful that you didn't force them into it.
No.
Right? Because a lot of people want to force, like sometimes I want to force my kids into things. I'm not even going to hold you up. I'm like, what the hell are y'all doing? Like, you need to be getting this money, right? But then I have to realize, no, they got their own path. But if I keep doing what I'm doing, they're paying attention. And eventually, at some point, I pray that they'll pick up what I'm doing and kind of be what your children are doing right now and investing and having a great real estate portfolio and doing their thing. Mm-hmm. So let's now you got the kids involved. You guys are owning portfolios. I mean, I think that's phenomenal. Talk to us about the Cleveland real estate market, because Cleveland is a very popular city to invest in. Everyone wants to invest in Cleveland, and there's a lot going on in Cleveland. So 2021 is the summer. COVID, tell us what's happening out there with the evictions. Can you evict in Cleveland? Are tenants paying? How's the process with Section 8? Talk to us about the Cleveland real estate market from an investor standpoint.
You just asked 40 questions in one.
We want to know it all, bro.
He did attack you.
Yeah. So the first question, ask me one at a time.
So let's go. How is the Cleveland real estate market with the eviction moratorium?
So with the evictions, you can evict. If they're part of a government program, that's a different story. Like, so it's a longer process if they have Section 8 or Eden. That's a longer process.
What's Eden?
Eden is another government program similar to Section 8. They're like how Section 8 came out the gate. They used to be on top of their business, move rapidly. But now they kind of slowed up, and you know, their program kind of shifted a little bit. Eaton is like, they're new, so they fast, they're on top of it. And Eaton, in a lot of cases, Eaton paid more than Section 8.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, that's a gem.
Yeah.
I hope y'all wrote that down.
Yeah.
So, all right, so you can evict if they're not with a government program. How long is the process to evict someone in today's, you know, market?
About 60 days.
60 days.
About 60 days.
So it's landlord friendly.
Correct.
So it's not it's not a tenant friendly state.
Correct.
Love it. So you can evict someone in 60 days, and there's no statewide moratorium on top of the feds? No. So you just send a 30-day notice pretty much.
And the whole process is about 60 days.
60 days.
About 60 days.
Are you guys, there are certain different states. Like I know in North Carolina, we had the padlock. Georgia, they put your things on the side of the road. How's the process there?
So they basically, you have a court date. If they not out, by the time that the judge ordered them out, you can have a moving company sit their stuff out.
So they're like Georgia?
Correct.
All right. Yeah. Good to know.
How is it as far as getting your properties ready for these government programs? Because I know every state is different when it comes to these Section 8 programs and these government programs to get your properties approved. Like, what is that process? Is it a long process to get approved in Cleveland?
No, I think it's not. I think when you put together the right project, I think it's ready for anything. It's like not cutting corners and putting Band-Aids on things. Mm-hmm. You know, like no chip paint, like things that you should do anyway. Like, so for me, it's like when I started renting properties to Section 8, I really didn't need to see their guidelines. Like, I put it together like I was going to live in it. Like, I'm not putting granite and different things like that in it, but I'm putting it together like I would live in it. So when I first started, I was putting it together the opposite way. Mm. And so what I mean by that, yeah, I was being super cheap. It's because I brought the same mentality that I had from my prior business. And at that point, it's like I wasn't interested in relationships, and I was just interested in the cash by all means. So I brought that same attitude to real estate. Like, well, I just want to get paid as fast as possible. So what I would do is I would buy a bunch of properties, put them together the cheapest way possible. I wanted to get the best deals, put them together as cheap as possible. I was the property manager, knowing that I wasn't a property manager, but I wanted to keep all the money. Yeah, I was greedy. So I was the property manager. I was putting Band-Aids on everything. So I'm letting anybody move in because I'm knowing that I can get 100%. I could do 100% refinance out on the property real fast. So I let anybody move in. Wasn't doing no background checks. Wasn't doing anything. I ain't had time to do that because I was in a hurry to get to the money before the banks changed the program. Mm-hmm. So what happened was when you operate like that, and you say these things called generational wealth because it just sounds good, but you operating in a way like you're gonna be out of business tomorrow. So what I got was a headache. What I had was, you know, 30 plus properties with Band-Aids on them, with tenants that it's a turnover like every 90 days. Most of the money that was coming in, it had to go to the mortgage. I was upside down because they was already broke. Like, I didn't really fully fix it anyway.
Yeah.
And I had to take a step back, and I was stressed out because of the decisions and choices that I made, but I blamed it on real estate. And I got tired of real estate, and I stepped back. I was like, I want to do something else because, like, this is a headache. And when I looked in the mirror and told myself the truth, it was like I could have cried when I looked in the mirror because it was like, why are you looking all around like you blaming? It's like, no, it's you. Like, you the problem.
People don't take accountability.
You the problem.
They blame everything else and deflect, but they don't take accountability for what they're doing.
That's the fastest way to get to wherever you want to go, like accepting responsibility, no matter if things going great, if it's going horrible. Like, it's you. Like, you the common denominator in all of those things.
That's a fact.
And once I realized that, and then I lost all the properties, you know, I owed the bank probably like $1.6 million or something like that. And so I was stressed out and lost everything. But once I told myself the truth and I accepted responsibility, it's like I got a breath of fresh air. Like, all you got to do is put the property together right. Put the property together right. Bring in a property manager that this is what they do. It's like a basketball team. Like, if you want to win a championship, you get the best people that are great at those positions.
Yep.
And you win a championship. It's that simple.
Run the fucking play.
Yeah, run the play.
Yeah, so that's what I did.
Man. That's good. That was a real gem right there. So yeah. I know I asked how many houses you own, and you was like, basically, that's none of your business. But you doubled back and you said something so much more powerful and so much more useful. So now that you came back, like, now I come back with a new mindset. What are like four simple things that you're doing right now with every property to prevent the headache that you had before?
Good question.
Oh, it's a great question. The first thing is don't put Band-Aids on things. Like, it's simple. When you're viewing a property, when you look at it, you know if it needs to be replaced. If you walk into a property and you see any rust on a furnace or a hot water tank, you need a brand new furnace, a brand new hot water tank. so you never have to worry about it again, and it's under warranty if something go wrong. Always get alarms. That's another thing I wasn't doing in the beginning, because it's like when you're greedy and just focus on money, your vision, it obscures your vision. Like you cannot see clear, and you will wind up like in prison, like I did. You'll wind up losing everything, like I did, because you just focus on the money. The money is a byproduct. The money is a byproduct of doing great business. Money is a byproduct of building strong relationships. Opportunities are a byproduct of relationships. I'm on this stage because the relationship that we built.
1,000%.
Like, it's a relationship. So don't put Band-Aids on things. Insurance. Soon as you sign on a dotted line to buy a property, get insurance. That's something I didn't do in the beginning. I know it sounds elementary, like you should know that, but most people don't get insurance. It's like, I didn't get insurance. And I remember like yesterday, one of the first properties that I bought, I get a phone call saying, your house on fire.
Damn.
So your house on fire. It was a three-unit property that I had. It was a single family in the back and a two-family in the front. And so I pull up, and the house on fire. And I'm standing in the crowd with the people. Because I was embarrassed. Like, I'm embarrassed. It's like you own all these properties and you don't got no insurance. And so I'm standing in the crowd looking at the... I'm sorry. Like, I don't got no insurance. And my house burning down.
You knew it was over.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I felt stupid and I was embarrassed. Like, it didn't make sense. And it just don't make sense. But it's like, it's like being honest with yourself, like, it'll help you grow so much farther. Like fuck everything else that's going on outside of you or how things may look. Like, be honest with yourself. Like, cause this thing it's about you. Like, it's about you. Like, coach picked you specifically, put you in a game. Coach is God, the game is life. Put you in a game because you're more than equipped to win a championship in your life, but you gotta be honest with yourself. Whatever it is, your strength, your weaknesses, whatever it is, because most of the people that you think are super strong, they not. Mm-mm. Like, we all got things that we don't like about ourselves. We all got things that we can build on. It's always another level. Like, you know, okay, somebody buying a house or somebody buying an island. So it's like,
Jim.
You know, so always get insurance. And whoever you choose to do business with, whether you're buying a property, buying a course, or whatever it is, make sure you vet them out. And I think one of the best ways to vet them is talk to five or 10 people that have done business with the individual that you're thinking about doing business with. Talk to 5 or 10 people that have had success with that individual. Like, because everybody can do a great commercial about themselves or their product or their services. Talk to 5 or 10 people that have done business with those individuals. And if you're not going to create a lifestyle business, stop basing your decision off of people's lifestyles, the cars they drive, the trips that they take in.
I gotta take a drink.
I know everybody don't see this, but I was raising my hand because it's so true.
Unless you're building a lifestyle business. Other than that, like, my lifestyle, the watch that I wear, like, how many, don't focus on that. Don't focus on that. Talk to 5 or 10 people that have done business with me or whoever you're thinking about doing business with to see if they had success with those people. Like, it's easy to get a car. Like, it's so easy to get a car. Like, right. I remember getting a car off the showroom floor and then lost it. Like, it's easy to get a car. Mm-hmm. To get your credit score up, to sign your name on a dotted line, or to get somebody to co-sign for you, it's easy to do that. It's easy to get a house that look cute. Mm-hmm. Understand that people, it's not that they're smarter than you, they understand how to market and brand. Mm. So you mesmerized by the marketing and branding. Mm. Yep. That's it. Think about it. Think about the system that we involved in, the plays that the government running on us. They're not smarter than us. They know how to market and brand, and they understand that you don't understand the power of your subconscious mind. And they continue to plant seeds and water them that's in your subconscious mind, and they have you believe in things that's crazy as hell once you get in tune with yourself and you start to focus on your personal development and growth. Mm. People are like, man, wow, like, why didn't I do this 30 years ago?
Damn.
You know, so.
It's crazy you said that. Me and Matt was just talking the other day. What were we just talking about that? I was like, you know what? I no longer feel the need to share every time I take a vacation. I no longer want to share how I'm living, where I'm living, what I'm driving. Like, I just want to post the information. I'll share if I want to share my husband, I will. If I want to share my dog, I will. But I'm in a different space. We were just talking about that, and I think what it is because I feel like when you're in a certain position and you start seeing your influence, I don't want to influence people to the wrong thing.
Yeah. 100%.
Right? So I don't want to influence you to think that this is going to happen for you overnight, whatever it is. You know, even when it comes to success, like you said, what are your biggest failures? Like, talk to people about their failures first. I'd rather talk about how I jacked up and messed up something first.
Right.
So that way you can understand, okay, this is the end result of the mess up. Because we are in the microwave age, and you do have to be careful when you are in a position where you are, like the position we're in, where we're on a platform. You have to be very careful about how you put things out there because you do have a social responsibility. We've been talking about that a lot lately, and it's just crazy you said that on this stage.
Yeah, because the younger generation, all they see is where you are today, but don't understand what was the journey and the path that got you here. You know, most of us have been in the business 10, 15, 20 plus years, and it's been a lot. And have failed. Mm-hmm. I've failed more times than I want.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, me too.
And I failed hard and lost a lot and had to rebuild myself probably twice now in my professional life. But people don't know that part. They don't see that part. They only see this and they think, oh, you're winning. Like, nah, dog, like, you don't understand what it took for me to get to this position. You don't know, like, I have to fly here. People are like, oh, when you go on tour, we ran to gyms. Never. Fly your ass to Wakanda. You know what I'm saying?
We're still out the window. Right. Yeah. We jump out the window and do this podcast. Honestly, like, we talk about what we put into this. Like, we ain't trying to have y'all feel sorry for us or nothing, but we put a lot of effort, time, money, and we got to find and vet good people to give you guys valuable information. We don't take this lightly, and we step away from our businesses for a 10-hour day to give back to the community. And a lot of this is, we just want you to know what we didn't know.
Yeah.
We're just like y'all. You see me over here like, wait.
We're learning.
Mental notes. I'm talking to my sister. Take the note what she said. I need that for me too. So we're all in it together. So I love the way, and I found him through another agent friend of mine. He was saying something so motivating about people working together. I didn't even come across your page when it came from real estate. It was just Denise the broker sent it to me. Shout out to Denise. And she was like, oh, we got to watch this because we've been talking a lot. And she's a real estate broker in Atlanta, female. And a natural thing, people think, oh, they should compete. Whole time we toasting up. We would never compete with each other, right? Choose who you want to go work with, right? And we were talking about how it's hard for us to collaborate. And she sent me your video. And that's how I found you. I said, I mean, I know he's selling real estate. He's doing all kinds of stuff. But he really is motivating. He's giving you the mental the mental strength to kind of work through and do anything.
That's the key. Like, so people reach out to me for real estate. I feel like God gave me that because you know that what attracts people is money. Like most people, you know what I mean? Like money because of how we've been misled from the beginning. So it got us in these different, you know, financial situations because it's like we like the most powerful thing species on the planet, but there's been some things put in place to make us think otherwise. So it's like, that's why we attracted to that. You know, we second guessing our genius, right? And the systems have been put in place. When you talk about the educational system, from my standpoint, the educational system is put in place to suppress your genius. Mm. It's like, when you think about it, it's like, okay, in kindergarten, you saying that you want to build a space station, build your own planet. You're super excited. When the teacher asks what you want to be, you raising your hand, you jumping up, and you feel like you can do it, right? So visualize that energy. And then by 12th grade, you just want to pay a car note and a house payment. What happened?
What happened from kindergarten to 12th grade?
Right. So for me, like, I've never been passionate about real estate. Like, real estate is something that I know how to do, and I share my experiences, my losses.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
My wins, but the thing that's going to change your life is you believing that it's possible for you. You believing and understanding that, like, the coach equipped you with everything that you need to win on this planet. You got to stop looking outside. Like, it's an inside game. Mm. It's not outside. If you search for happiness outside of yourself, you'll continue to be lost. I know, because I was searching outside of myself for happiness. And what happens is, like, you attach to somebody feeling like this person gonna make me happy, whether male, female, your friend you grew up with, like, you're looking for your happiness inside of somebody else, and then the relationship don't work out right, they gone, and now you sad, and now you're looking for happiness again outside of yourself, inside of somebody else. Can you imagine coach putting you in a game, right? And your happiness is inside of somebody else. And every day you got to wake up and go look and search for happiness inside of somebody else. It wouldn't make sense. The happiness is inside of you. But you got to believe it. You got to trust and believe. You got to trust and believe in your infinite intelligence. Your God mind. That's the key. Real estate is simple. You pick. You decide, okay, what do I want from real estate? Do I want capital gains? That mean, like, fix and flip, you know, like retail, you know, selling turnkey to out-of-state and out-of-country investors? Or do I want monthly passive income? Like, which one of those do I want? Okay, you once you make that decision, then it's like, okay, what market best fit what I'm looking for? If it's, you know, if it's buy and hold, what market best fit buy and hold in my price range? Okay, it may be Cleveland. It may be Detroit. It may be Milwaukee. It may be Memphis. All of those markets are similar when you're talking about price point. You identify that market. The next thing is you want to establish some relationships. Life is relationships. Business is relationships. People trying to look past building relationships for a one-night stand and then wonder why things ain't working out for them. Life is relationships. Business is relationships. So you build some relationships in that market once you identify the market. You could join Facebook groups, invest in Facebook groups that's in the markets that you want to invest in. So you get into groups, figure out how you can add some value. You build some relationships with the individuals that's in the group. You take the relationships offline.
Yes.
You join the RIA groups that's in the cities that you want to invest in. The RIA groups are the real estate investment associations. They have them in every city. Every city that you want to invest in, they have a real estate investors association. Basically, a real estate investor association is a group comprised, put together of title companies, lenders, wholesalers, investors that's just starting out, investors that have been in the game for 30 years. Those are some of the best places to plug into. That way you can learn and get more familiar with the city. You can get more familiar with the zip codes. What zip codes are great for buy and hold? What zip codes are great for retail flips? And then you take a trip. You get on a plane. You get in your car. You go to that city.
Do
you go
research.
To those meetings.
Yeah.
You drive through those neighborhoods. Like, it's a business. Purchasing real estate would probably be one of your biggest investments that you ever make. Mm-hmm. So why not spend some money to go build some relationships with people on the ground that you could grow a successful team and business with?
Man, I think that's so important that you said, because too many people want to invest out of their state, especially in high-cost states like New York, California, right? Everyone in New York wants to be in Cleveland.
Of course.
But they never want to go to Cleveland. They don't even know what Cleveland looks like, right?
I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I've heard of so many great things about Cleveland. Multifamily. I know some people that built some properties there. I've heard so many great things, and I'm like, well, how can I just put some money over there? I don't necessarily think I want to catch a flight. I'm not gonna lie to you, but the thing about it is it's the wrong way to think. I had to take a step back after meeting with Rashana in mm-hmm. Chicago, and she took me out, and I said, now if I would have just threw my money down here, I'd have been felt a little bit of a way. I'm glad that she took me to her flips, and I can see the process and what's going on and how it takes place. So now I'm like, if I do want to invest, I need to go. Like, don't just listen, because I'm like y'all. I'm listening to Instagram. Instagram told me I can get multifamily for cheap, and it's more of a cash flow. What I love about your place is a cash flow.
Yeah, right.
Like,
it's not
you can get you can get a lot of multifamily. See, Atlanta, we don't have any, and so we've been over here knocking ourselves over the head because everybody's like, I want multifamily in Atlanta. I'm like, here are the three. I sent them to Matt.
Yeah.
Here are the three. Yeah. And they're half a million.
It was literally three.
And here's the, and they're half a million. They're not, and they're still not great. How do you want to move forward? But then I'm over there. I was like, oh, 150, 200. So it's, that leads into our other question. Tell us, like, our average price point in the metro Atlanta area is $455,000. We have basically tripled our average price point in the last 3 years. We have went from 285 to 3 to now we're 450. I feel like by the end of the year, we'll be at 500,000. Do you kind of know, like, and it's crazy because our market has shifted that much and it's outpricing a lot of you guys. So now you have an opportunity to talk to someone in the market that may still be within your reach. Tell us a little bit about your market.
What specific question?
The specific question is, on average, like for the first-time investor, right? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of first-time investors. How much should they spend on a multifamily? What would be the estimated cost of them being able to rehab it? And then...
Turnkey and rehab.
Yeah.
So turnkey, two-family, duplex, $70,000, $75,000 all in.
Ooh.
Rented out for $1,300 a month. Mm-hmm. So $1,300 a month cash.
Can you say that one more time for the people in the back? Because I think they were flabbergasted when you said that. Why do you think I was listening to Instagram about it? Say it one more time.
Turnkey duplex, $70,000 to $75,000, cash flow on $1,300 a month. Wow.
And what about if you're buying a fix-upper that you want to fix and still hold?
Duplex or single family?
Duplex.
Duplex, you're probably going to pay $35,000. Yeah, $35,000.
And how much in rehab, probably an estimate? Depending on the property. I know that's a general question, but typically.
$35,000, $40,000.
Okay. So $35,000, $40,000.
Yeah, so here's the other part of that. Here's why wholesaling is one of my favorite strategies.
What is wholesaling? Let's break down wholesaling. I'm glad you looked.
Wholesaling is, how much you pay for those shoes?
I paid probably $1,000 for these, but I can probably flip them right now for probably two.
Right. So wholesaling.
But they retail for $200.
Right. So your guy, you pay how much?
I paid $1,000.
You paid $1,000. So the person he bought them from may have got them for $700. He mm-hmm. may have got a relationship again, a relationship. Where he can get them for $700 without even putting the money up, and he's the middleman, the broker, middleman, to Matt for $1,000, and so he makes the in between money. Mm. So wholesaling is the same way. It's like, okay, we find people that need to sell, not want to sell, but need to sell, whether it's because of a divorce, whether it's taxes, inherited property that they're not interested in. And we can get the property for pennies on the dollars. And so that gives us an opportunity to use any one of the other real estate strategies. it puts us in a driver's seat to where when the market shifts, because the market always shifts, the real estate has cycles. We don't have to scramble around or worrying about what's going to happen in the market. Like, it don't matter. If we bought the property right, if we got the property for pennies on the dollars, we don't care what happened with the market. If it goes sideways, if it crashed tomorrow because we got in at a great price point. But if we bought with the intention of a fix and flip to a homeowner, we buying it specifically to fix and flip to a homeowner, then a market shift, we may be in trouble. Because right now, people are paying over asking price for properties because they moving off emotion, not knowledge. Mm. So they paying too much for the property just to say that you got the beautiful property. But if the market goes down, they underwater. They don't have no exit strategies. Like, they stuck. And then those properties, like the young lady said when she was up here, Pam, she said she bought those 51, she bought that land and was building those properties to flip them. Mm-hmm. But the market shifted in 2007. She couldn't flip them because the banks froze everything. They wasn't doing any lending. So they backed out. So now she was stuck. And she said she sat on them for 2 years. So the reason why I like wholesaling is because, again, you're getting the properties for pennies on a dollar. So no matter what's happening with the market, mm-hmm. you're in a great position. You can rent it out. You're going to be in a great position. You could not do anything to it and sell it to somebody else and make a profit. You could rehab it and sell it to a homeowner and make a profit. You could rehab it, put a tenant in place, and sell it as a turnkey investment to an out-of-state or out-of-country investor, and you're still in a great position.
So, you just gave them too many ways to make money.
Yeah.
Did y'all write that down? Yes. All right.
So what are the three steps to get started with wholesaling?
Yes.
So it's three steps. So a simple way is you could, again, we go back to building relationships. I know people are not interested in building relationships. They're interested in one-night stands. But it's so many benefits to building relationships. So one of my first wholesale deals, before wholesaling became popular and like this household name, I had relationships. You know, I was focused on building relationships. So a friend of mine said that he was interested in buying some properties because he wanted to buy a helicopter, but he wanted to spend his cash to buy some properties and take the rental income from the properties and pay for the helicopter. So I got introduced to another individual that was interested in selling his portfolio. He had a portfolio that he wanted to sell. So we worked out a number. We worked out a number which was going to get him the number that he wanted. My guy over here was comfortable with the number that I brought to him, the ROI that he was looking for. He was looking for a 14% return, and I made $50,000 on the deal.
Mm.
And I just connected the two people and made $50,000. He wanted to sell a portfolio. He wanted to buy a portfolio. And I basically brokered a deal. Mm. So one of the simplest ways is just building relationships and just connecting the people. Mm. That's one of the simplest ways. Another way is connecting with other wholesalers. So you may have a wholesaler that's strong at getting contracts, getting properties under contracts, but he don't have anybody to sell them to, right? If you focus on building relationships with individuals that's looking to buy in the markets where you could buy properties for $70,000 or even $50,000, when you talk about Cleveland, Detroit, Memphis, Milwaukee, if you focus on connecting with those individuals, New Yorkers, people in California, you could partner with a wholesaler that already have properties under contract, and you could bring your buyers to the table, and y'all can split the profit that's going to be in between each one of those deals.
Mm.
Mm. That's the gem. Not forgetting Atlanta. There's people in Atlanta.
Can't leave out Wakanda.
Cannot leave out Atlanta. We definitely are excited about this in the market over
yeah.
there.
Again, y'all making money out here.
They make, you know. Yeah, it's different. It's different down there. $70,000 for a duplex.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, right? Because you said New York, right? And, obviously I'm in New York, so mm-hmm. a lot of people want to invest, out-of-state investing, right? What are the tips to build a team if you're going to invest from out-of-state, in a state or a city like Cleveland? Like, How are they? I know you say you got to come to the city, you got to come right. to the town, but like, what else can you give them? Because a lot of people in these high cost areas, they can't afford to invest where they live. So how do they go about really building these teams and being successful with this?
Again, it goes back to, like, you got a girlfriend, you got a wife, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing, like building a relationship. Like, it's all building relationships. Like, there's no secret or no specific way to build a relationship. It's about adding value, like getting to know somebody, paying attention to energy, not just focus on the money, because if you just focus on the money, you will miss all of the blind spots. Mm. You, like, genuinely be interested in building relationships. Like, I can't really give you any secrets, or I could tell you some stuff that sound good, but I build relationships based upon, like, first of all, energy, right? When I first started, I didn't pay attention to energy. I only paid attention to the money. So if I knew that I could make money with this person, or I needed them because they was a missing piece to me reaching my goals and making money, I overlooked all of the signs. I overlooked them showing up late. I overlooked, like, my infinite intelligence telling me that something is off about this person, right? When you just focus on the money, you override all of the signs. It's like, when you really think about it in your life, right? Because it got to make sense for y'all, not just for me. It got to make sense for y'all. So when you think about relationships in your life that went left, they didn't just automatically, one day, it just went left. If you tell yourself the truth, you would say, you know what? I overrode this sign, that sign. I was just focused on what I really wanted, but I overlooked all of the signs. It's like people saying that they engines went out in their car, but your oil light been on for 3 months.
Right.
Like, so again, the catastrophes that I've had with contractors, I seen all the signs. And I ignored all of the signs because I wanted them to do this work at this certain price that I knew really didn't make sense, but I wanted to make X amount of dollars, and I knew that they was going to do the whole project for, you know,
for
a number that didn't really make sense. And I knew that this wasn't the guy. I knew that this wasn't the guy. If he calling me 8 o'clock at night, yeah, I'm finished. Like, that ain't the guy.
Right.
Like, he has a money problem already. Mm. And at some point, you're going to have a headache. You just prolonging a headache when you really need to deal with this head on right now. So I know that people are, you know, you look for, you know, you're looking for these things that sound good. And like, I'm not into that. I want to tell and share with you the things that really helped me get here, the things that continue to help me. And it's like, first of all, paying attention to yourself. Like, paying attention to yourself, like working on yourself. So you working on yourself, it's easier for you to recognize bullshit.
I love that.
Like, it's easier for you to recognize. Getting more money don't help you do that. Getting more money don't help you with your personal development and growth. Getting more money don't help you deal with storms. Because how is it somebody got millions of dollars and then they kill themselves? So that won't help you. You know, I thought that would help you. You know, I had in my mind that, okay, I get to this certain amount of money, and then life is just going to be. And then I got the money, and I was stressed out. And I was like, something ain't right about this. I got the money. I focused on getting this money. And I got the money, and I'm unhappy. And that's when I realized, like, it's not the money. It's not the money. Like, the happiness is not in the money. It's not in the money. How are people rich killing themselves and they got all the money?
Yeah.
Like, so it's not the money. Like, the money won't set you free. It's like, it won't. What you chase won't set you free.
Oh, that's a gem. Anybody have any questions?
What you chase won't set you free.
No.
I really like that.
Yeah, so.
What you chase won't set you free. Damn, you got a lot. I'm about to use a lot of these quotes and confirmations here, brother.
Did somebody write this down for us?
You got the book?
I got the book. Quotes and confirmations. Yeah, you know, it's a great book,
I need to get the book.
Everybody need to get the book.
Well, you don't. Yeah, we need to know. We got some questions.
What's the book?
Quotes and confirmations. But go to the link in his bio and on Instagram. He's going to say that at the end.
Hi, I'm Taisha Jones. I'm from New Orleans. I'm following instructions from last
You came in from New Orleans?
Get me.
You came in here from New Orleans?
From New Orleans, yeah.
Shout out to you, Shawty.
Shout out to you. So my question is, can you recommend a good method for locating the owners of the properties on your wholesale? Like, what's a good skip tracer?
Batch skip tracing.
Somebody write that down for me.
Batch.
Batch.
Yep, that's what we use. Batch skip tracing.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Good question.
You're a straight shooter. I love it.
That's the simplest way.
Like, this is my first time meeting you, Liz Toes. That was such a straight shooter. Because a lot of people be around here too easy trying to sell something and they just don't want to just say it. Just say it sometime.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
100%.
My name is Ashante. I'm from Houston, Texas.
You flew in from Houston?
Yeah.
Houston in the house.
I'm loving all, first of all, I'm loving all y'all who flew in from all these different cities. Shout out to y'all. More wine. Okay.
I have two questions. You said Eden for the section, that's like Section 8, E-D-E-N?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And then you talked about two big losses, your fire without insurance, and then when you lost 30 properties from your sabbatical. What does it look like when you rebuild after that? Are there credit issues? Are there money issues? Are there trust issues with people working with you again? How do you rebuild after a loss?
Oh, good question.
Good question.
Thank
Great
you.
Question.
Thank you.
So when you say credit, so when I started to rebuild, my kid's mom actually helped me rebuild. So she had great credit. And so she helped me rebuild and also used a hard money lender, somebody introduced me to. And the funny thing with that was before that, like I was using most of my own money, like the, you know, the money that I had when I worked in the other industry. And so I got introduced to a hard money lender, and we did one project, and with the one project, I bought the property cash, and he financed the fix up. After he seen me demonstrate after that first project, he opened up the door to finance anything that I got. And before that, when he asked me about the foreclosures, he was like, so why you didn't, you know, he pulled my credit, he's like, why you didn't pay? Like, what happened? I was like, I just didn't pay. I was like, I don't have any excuses. Like, I didn't pay. And he was like, you're the first person that ever told me that. He said, most people try to tell me a story and blame. And like, he's like, I got a lot of respect for you. And so after that, he was willing to finance anything that I did, anything.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah. Great questions.
Great question.
How you doing?
Great.
I appreciate you for being here. So I kind of got a question and then a piggyback question off of that. Mm-hmm. So my first question is, are you more focused on, and I know you say the math, what'd you say?
The path is math.
The path is math, right? So do you have like a primary focus as far as the type of homes that you invest in? Whether it's single family or multifamily, like duplex, triplex, or large multifamily. And then on top of that, what is like that minimum criteria that you're looking for that's gonna determine, yes, I want to, you know what I'm saying, commit to this, or nah, this doesn't really, you know what I'm saying, this doesn't really do it for me.
So I don't have a property preference. So I buy single families, I buy, you know, 6 unit, 8 units, I buy multi-purpose buildings. It don't matter. And what was the second question?
What is that determining factor? Like, is there a minimum criteria that you're looking for when it comes to you buying? Is like, is it cash flow? Is it a certain area because you know this area will appreciate? Like, is there just a certain criteria that you're looking for or trying to meet before you, you know what I'm saying, pull the trigger and fully make that commitment?
Yeah, so in Cleveland specifically, like, I know all the zip codes and I know which strategies work best for different zip codes. And what I mean by that, I know some zip codes work perfect for buy and holds.
What other zip codes?
Zip codes for...
We all want to know. So, I see everybody got their pen. My team better have their pen ready for me, too.
So all of the suburbs are great for buy and holds. Like, all of the suburbs are great for buy and holds, as well as fix and flip to homeowners. Like, for the suburbs. Most of the stuff I own is in the inner city. And the reason why I like the inner city is the taxes are cheaper, just all the expenses are cheaper all the way around. The cash flow is stronger. And I know, and my property management know how to deal with the inner city tenants. I think the main thing is putting together the right product. Most people that don't understand because they're not from the inner city, they have a problem with the people. Most of the situations that's going bad is not the people. It's the people and the gurus on social media putting Band-Aids on properties like I did when I first started. Mm. So they don't tell you that. So it's like, I know, like, a lot of the people, like the so-called gurus, they're saying that it's the people, and I'm watching them, and, you know, I got a large base in Cleveland. I've been in it for 20 years. So I know the product they putting together, and I know the product that they showing on social media to market to people to get them to buy into their $10,000 and $20,000 program. That ain't the same product that they renting out to people or people losing their money with. You know, so putting together the right product in the inner city and having the right management in place, you can win. So again, I know the different strategies for the different zip codes.
I just have like a final question on top of that. So like, when you're doing your buy and holds, is there a certain cash on cash return you're looking for? Is there a certain ROI you're looking for?
It's funny.
Good question.
That's a great question.
I was about to cut you off, too.
He was about to say guidelines.
I was really trying.
He said guidelines. Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
This is the last one, though.
So I don't really look at it from that standpoint. And I know when, you know, as a teacher, like if you're teaching somebody, like that's the best way to teach people. Like, okay, you're looking for this ROI and different things like that. But the reason why I don't is I'm going to give you a real life example. And I just know the numbers, and I just know. So anyway, I bought a property for $7,000. I put $15,000 into it. I sold the property for $75,000 and some change. So my point is this: I don't really need to focus on like the numbers, because I understand, like, okay, if I buy this property, right, I know that this neighborhood, like, maxed out, the numbers is 90,000, right? So say it's 90,000, that's the top number. If I buy this property for just even 10,000 and put 20 into it, and I could sell it for 90,000, you follow me?
Yeah.
Or like another, like, real life scenario, we just bought an 8-unit building for $38,000.
Say what?
Right. Yeah. So here's another thing. Here's another thing. When you're thinking about taking somebody's course or mentorship in whatever city that they say that they doing business is, you could look on the county records. Like, they, you know, get their company information. You could look on the county records and really see if they really doing exactly what they say that they doing.
Facts.
Or you can get the HUDs from them. So everything that I'm talking about, like, you could, like, the people that work with me, like, they see it. Like, you know it. Like, we're doing classes where they come into Cleveland and they going through my properties and we teaching them hands-on. So anyway, so the 8-unit was, the last 8-unit was $38,000. We just sold a 4-unit. We paid $8,000 for the 4-unit. We paid $8,000 for the 4-unit, and we just sold it for $45,000. It needed a full rehab. So these are actual numbers. Like, this is stuff that I'm doing, that we doing today, me and my kids.
Thank you.
We got one more question. We're gonna let you get your question out.
Yeah.
Cause I got a comment. Yeah. I don't even got a question.
She said I got a comment.
Not even a question.
Okay, so I want to say thank you for being here. Your mindset. I love the way that you think. I've been doing a lot of research on, like, personal growth and healing, because I know in order for me to be good in my business, I have to be good within. Can you talk about some of the things that you did to get to where you are today?
So,
or your personal growth?
Okay. So one of the things that got my attention was my brother went on a federal sabbatical, and he went on a federal sabbatical, and he would, like, being on a federal sabbatical, you meet these different people from, like, all walks of life. and most of them are the opposite walks from us. And so they talking about, you know, their journey and the money that they making doing these different things, and their time is a less, like, you know, they get 18 months for stealing, you know, $10 million. And so he would build relationships with these people, and then he would feed me the information, telling me, like, go get this book, like, go get that book, like, read this and read that. And how it really started and what got my attention was he told me that he can make more money than me sitting in prison than I was at home. He was like, you know, he wrote me this letter, I remember like yesterday, basically saying that you comfortable, like you think you're doing good because you're doing better than the people that's around you. Like you wasting your talent. And if you let me control everything, I can make more money than you sitting here and you at home. And when I was reading the letter, I was sitting in a barbershop and I was reading the letter and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna start fucking with him. I was mad. like my feelings was hurt. I was like, I'm gonna stop sending him money. Like I was
hurt. Oh, you mad, man?
Yeah, yeah. I was crushed. I was like, man, I didn't want nobody to see that. I was like, put that letter in my pocket. And so what happened after a couple of days, when I started thinking about it, I was like, he right, I am comfortable. And I could do more. And so he got my undivided attention. Then he recommended a book. And, you know, I started reading the book. I want to say it was Think and Grow Rich. So, you know, reading Think and Grow Rich, didn't really understand the first time I read it, I was looking for them to tell me how to be rich on the page. I thought they were just going to give me like the blueprint to get rich. So I'm looking for it. And when I didn't see it, I'm like, man, that book ain't no good. And then I read it again. Because every time I would talk to my brother, you couldn't tell that he was in prison. It was like he was somewhere at camp or something, like he was a dean or something. And it was like, I wanted to make him proud because like his energy, like, you know, he in prison, like his energy on the phone is like, and I was like, and I'm free. And it was like, it's like he free. And I arrested my development. Mm. Yeah, so. Mm. So that put fire under my ass. So I started reading. It was like I was I'm an avid reader. So I just kept reading. And then I realized that, like, what I was doing, like, it got me to a certain place. And if I wanted to rise up, I had to try some different things. So I look at my life like a scientific project. So I don't just read books. I get some stuff, then I go implement it. So I just started trying things. And I think that in order for any of us to grow, we gotta try some stuff. Like, if you're not where you wanna be right now, you like, just look at the activities that you're doing on a daily basis and like, you switch those activities up. And as we look at, okay, where we wanna be. And wherever we wanna be, it's a certain set of activities that's gonna get you there. If you wanna be fit, you need some activities that line up with being fit. If you wanna be financially free, you need some activities that line up with being financially free. And just get those activities and put them on repeat and put yourself around other individuals that you know that they're going to hold you accountable. Put yourself around individuals that when they not even around, like I have friends, when they not around, I'm thinking about them in my mind and I'm moving different because I know when we get together, we talking about, okay, what's going on? What new investments? Like what you got? You know, so I think it's, we got it in our head already. Like we all know something that we can do right now to elevate our life without nobody telling us anything. Mm-hmm. We got something right now that we know we can do to be better, personally, business, et cetera. Like we know it, just do it.
Man.
I love it. You gave us so many gems.
Yeah.
But we can't wrap up without you giving us a rant. You gave so many gems, I don't even know if you have to give us one, but you gotta give us a rant, and if you can find it in your heart to find a gem.
One more gem,
we would love to hear. It's the Rants and Gems Show. Someone needs to know a rant about your industry and a gem about your industry.
Rant. It would have to be just paying attention to the signs, like, you know, especially with contractors. Like, pay attention to the signs. Like, don't override the signs. Like, pay attention to the signs. Like, we got great at overriding the signs. Like,
right.
In all of our relationships. Like, we just great at overriding the signs and just going to make it be what we want it to be. And then we talk about my heart broke. Like, you overrode all of the signs. Like, pay attention to the signs. Don't override the signs.
I like that. And what's your gem? What's your final gem?
The gem is find or create the recipe that works great for your life and put it on repeat.
And put it on repeat.
Yeah. Like, that's it. It's not a one size fit all. And it's not about somebody else's life. It's about you finding or creating a recipe that works great for you and put it on repeat, spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially.
Love it. Jim.
Man. So how can they find you, Beyond?
I want to say something. They want to know how to find you. They want to know if they can come out and meet you. They want to get this $30,000 triplex. I see it in your eyes. I saw the twinkle in your eyes. And I drop whatever you got, drop it. They want to know. The people need to know.
So my social media, Instagram and Facebook is my full name, Beyond, B-E-Y-O-N-D, Wynn, W-Y-N-N. If you're interested in buying properties in Cleveland, you can join our cash buyers email list, and you know we email properties out weekly.
How do they all join the list?
Oh, click the link in the bio to join the list.
And, they want to know.
And me and my son's creating a course as well, to teach from our standpoint and you know share the things that we're actually doing to help us win as a family.
And let me say this: I purchased a few properties from him and his sons. Everything he's saying is legitimate. I vouch for it. So
he's been holding out. Wait a minute.
I told you, it's a lot I don't talk about.
That is a little bit of it.
It's a lot I don't talk about.
Not with me.
I mean, I talk about it to you sometimes. But you know, bad boys move in silence. That's how we roll over here.
That's all right. So, man, let's talk. I don't need you to work.
You got the plug now.
Yeah, I'm with the plug.
Yeah, you're with the plug. But you know, look, everything that he's saying is legitimate. I experienced it firsthand. So if anybody wants to reach out to him, confident to know that MG has worked with him personally, and this is a relationship I've had for a few years, and I've owned properties in Cleveland because of Beyond and his son. So shout out to them, all right?
Yes.
Real talk, and that's real talk, all right? So look, we're gonna wrap up Beyond. I know this was last minute, but Coach put you in the game, and you came and you ran the fucking play.
That's what I did.
You ran the fucking play,
right,
Beyond.
That's right.
So we appreciate you.
Another thing, I got an inspirational album that I'm working on. Basically, you know, things straight from my mind, things that have helped me elevate in life, continue to move forward. You can find that at beyondwin.com to pre-order. We're only doing 100 of them in a bundle. So it's a limited edition, the album, a limited edition Run the Fucking Play t-shirt, and a copy of my quotes and confirmation book. We're doing 100 in a bundle, but the music / inspiration, you know, it would be available, you know, unlimited, you know, purchases. But we're only doing 100 bundles. We got a few of them left.
I've already got my pre-sale. Yeah.
Let's do it, y'all. Yeah. So look, man, this was a great episode, Beyond. Thank you. We appreciate your time today. My name is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
My name is Kiana Watson, license number 317576, broker extraordinaire here in the Metro Atlanta area. And thank you guys again for tuning in to another episode of the Rants and Gems.
Absolutely. Go run the effing play.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.